All right. I know all of you love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and strength, so praise His holy name together. Come on, New Life Church. That's the... Whoa. That sounds like the way you guys have been clapping for the hogs the last few years. Let's do this. We're talking about the King, man. Let's go ahead and celebrate because He really is the one who saved our lost soul. Yeah. All right, here's the deal. When I grew up, I didn't grow up in a church that was life-giving. I've told this story so many times, so I'm not going to refer to it now. But I never felt wanted in that house. I was young. I was hyper. I was too loud. I was breaking everything in the church. But what was really broken was my heart, because I never knew that God loved me. I thought my parents went through a difficult time in junior high, and I thought it was because of me. For years, I thought God hated me. I never had a prayer life. And I refuse to pastor a church that doesn't have young people involved in it. Can I have an amen? Because there are times in the Old Testament where the Bible says that this generation did not serve the Lord and remember His promises. And so the next generation didn't even try. So I believe that we have to reach young people. Collide this week, coming up, Friday night. And I just want to let you know, if you know of a teenager, especially if it's in your family or on your street, or maybe you work with them, I would encourage you to have them here, because there's going to be moments in the service where they're going to see the enormity of God, the power of His name, and they're going to realize, hey, I might be young and I may have energy, but what I really need is I need the Holy Spirit to change my life forever. And that's what Collide is like, 1 year with God in a weekend. And so what I want to ask for you to do, because what I like about the youth pastors is they didn't just send me a bunch of hype material. What they sent me was how to pray for Collide. I have some of that with me right now, and I want to ask for everybody to bow your heads and let's pray for this service. Lord, I do want to thank You that this one youth group that will come together, it's unusual to do this, but we'll have a few thousand teenagers from New Life Church coming together. And Lord, I pray that they will grow. And we pray, Lord God, that every young person will be filled with peace and Your Holy Spirit. And I pray that they're going to know that they are a child of Your name. Lord, give them boldness and courage to step out and face this school year. Lord, I pray that they find their purpose and their calling. Let them know that You are a God that is a refuge, that can be called upon in the morning and at night. Let them crave integrity and purity and godly character. Lord, I pray that when they hear Your word and they sense Your Spirit, that they will never be the same, and they will consistently pursue after You in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that Your face will shine upon this conference. Lord, I pray that everything that they aim at doing will be led by You, filled by You, and bigger than what they're even dreaming about. So, Lord, we give You the glory that You are the head of the church. And, Lord, we know that when we stand and call upon Your name, and draw near to You, that You draw near to us. So right now, we dedicate this conference to You. And Lord, I pray that every campus will have a youth group that is growing in Your name and full of the fear of Your name and full of the faith of Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shouted at the same time, come on now. God is good. Turn to the person next to you and say, you needed God when you were young. Come on, tell them that. You needed it big time. Could have saved us a lot of heartache. All right, here's the deal. Every now and then we'll have a guest speaker and they'll teach the word and they'll always do well. And my brother is here and this word is important for all of you. But I also want to say that this is more important than just the word, although he will ace it because he is a carrier of the word. But the reason why I like Randy and Amy is not just because they're in my family. Because we all have family members we don't like much at all. But I love being around Randy and Amy because they love God. They love each other. Their kids are all serving God. Listen, it doesn't happen much. And they have the joy in their church, one of the best churches in the world. If you go there, they're raising up leaders. If you go there this year and then go back the next year, it's even better than the year before. They're moving forward, all because they know that it's not based on their skill. It's based on the Lord. Listen, I've always prayed as a church, and all the churches that have the hand of God on them, they pray this way. They pray, Lord, keep us humble, let us have integrity, and let us pursue your name. And then when you show up again in our land, you will not pass our church by, because we desperately want to be a part of it. And I just want to tell you that my brother is that person. He fears God. He loves the Lord. He's not as handsome as me, but he is 7 years younger, and I admire him with all of my heart. Would you give my brother a Razorback welcome? Come on, Randy Bezek, my brother, my best friend.
All right. You guys doing good this morning? How many of you came here to hear the word this morning? Aren't you glad you're at this church rather than the best hospital in town? Come on, somebody happy about that. So thank you, Rick. It's a real honor to be with you guys today. I really am so, our family's been hanging out for a few days to get all these Bezets together in one place. That's a miracle right there, because everybody's doing so much stuff together. But I want to take a moment and honor my wife. I love you, Amy. Thank you so much for being a great partner and a great friend. 26 years now we've been married. Come on, y'all give it up for my wife. Come on, stand up. I need to show you off a little bit. And the reason why we're married is because she didn't have corrective eye surgery until after we were married. And then it was too late. You know, it's kind of been good for me. So anyway, we have four kids, and now we have another in the family, because I have a daughter-in-law named Sable. Our oldest son got married a year ago, and so it's good to have all of them here with us this weekend. And so let me just say something about my brother. First of all, he's deceived, all right, when he thinks he's better looking than me. But we're not going to talk about that today. But here's what I want to say, really, in all seriousness, is that I love my brother. And he's my only brother, so he's my favorite brother, okay? So that's easy to do. Okay, but what I love about Rick is we were actually talking about this just yesterday. We were reminiscing about our lives before Christ. How many of you are thankful that you know Christ now, because your life was a mess beforehand? Okay. We were talking about that, and how thankful and how blessed we are just following the Lord, and how we don't really know why God's hand was on us when we were being stupid, but he protected us and preserved us, and in the life that we get to live, and our kids, and doing ministry, and all that the Lord is doing. But here's what I want you to know about Rick, is in 1981, when he gave his life to Christ, before that he was playing professional golf, and he was passionate about golf, and something flipped in his life, and all of a sudden his passion for the church and his passion for the Lord became something greater than anything I've ever seen. And what's so cool about it is, as we were talking about that, is his passion and his zeal for the Lord and for the church, it has not wavered. In fact, I'd say it's multiplied and is greater than it's ever been. And he loves this city, he loves this state, and he loves this church, and he loves you. And you are so blessed to have such an incredible pastor and a leader. Won't you give it up for your pastor, Rick? I know I'm way better by hanging out with you, and I love it. You're just contagious in your leadership and everything that you do. And here's one thing that you need to know about any great man. Behind every great man is a surprised mother-in-law. And that definitely happened with Rick, but really it's because Michelle. And so y'all give it up for Michelle as well, because Rick would not be where he is, right, without her. Okay, I want to talk to you today about something I think is very important. Everybody say pain. Okay, we all face pain. Anybody here ever done something real stupid and it caused a lot of pain in your life and you later regretted it? Come on, everybody, you can raise your hand, because I know you, all right? Because my brother tells me all about you. I know you've made some bad decisions. I was with my kids not long ago. In fact, earlier this year, our youngest son, Dylan, he turned 18 And he wanted to go on a trip for his 18th birthday, and I took him snow skiing. And so him and his brothers, and we took a couple of friends with us, and we went snow skiing. We were up in Vermont. And these kids, man, they were showing me up, right? You know, we downloaded these apps to see who was going the fastest, and I was trying to keep up with them. And I shouldn't try to keep up with these young bucks, isn't that right? But I was trying. The last day, I decided this is going to be the day I'm going to take home the trophy. I'm going to go the fastest, and I'm going to hit the jumps they've been hitting, and I'm going to jump the furthest. You guys, you can see where this is going, right? And I did. I hit this jump one time, and I hit it so high. I want you to take a look at it. Look at this big air I got. Come on, look at that. What? That's a good-looking picture right there, right? I mean, I'm flexing right there. That is a good picture. However, it's what came right after that that I really don't like to show. Let me show you what was the result of that. Okay. Yeah, that's what they call a separated AC joint. And there's different levels of separation. The worst you can get is a 4. That's a level 3. That means I was in a lot of pain. Everybody say ow. And so I made it back home with that shoulder and went to the doctor, and he was giving me the what we're going to have to do to get this thing healed and rehabilitated. And he said, I think you can do it without surgery, but man, this thing is messed up. You did a good job. And I said, thank you very much. But no, I didn't. I was in so much pain. I was very nervous about surgery and how this thing was going to get fixed. This happened in January. And just like you do at your church, we have this season of prayer and fasting that we do in January, right? And when prayer and fasting started on Wednesday, this happened on the weekend, and it was leading up to Wednesday. And the church, I didn't know, but they knew what had happened to me, and our church was praying for me to be healed. They were like gathering and praying, God, heal our pastor. And I was just like hoping God was going to help me get better through the doctor, but they were praying for God to heal me. All right, I showed up to our Wednesday night prayer and worship service to kick off our prayer and fasting. And the closer it got to service, the better my shoulder got. And when I showed up to service that night, I was moving my shoulder around just like this right now. Can you give God some praise for healing me? Come on. Because God is still in the miracle working business. Amen. And so that was extremely painful. I didn't have to have surgery. I didn't have to have any therapy or anything. I am just completely healed. Now, I still have a big old knot on my shoulder right here. That bone is still sticking up. I call it my badge of courage. It's kind of proud of it. Yeah, look at that. My wife calls it my badge of stupidity. And she's probably right. She usually always is. But she's a lot smarter than I am. Here's what I want you to know. Is that I learned something in that. You know, pain is not fun, and none of us like pain. In fact, I would tell you I'm probably allergic to pain. You know, I want to do everything I can, right, to not have pain. In fact, most of our prayers are probably, God, make me comfortable. But there's something you can learn through pain. You know what I learned? I learned just be content with being the old guy. All right, don't try to keep up with those flat bellies or you're going to get hurt every time, right? Okay, look, we're given this in your notes. It's going to be on the screen. So with this idea of pain, here's my thesis, if you will, for our time here together. The greatest lessons in life, they're almost always taught in the classroom of suffering. I mean, that's a good place to say amen. We don't like that. We don't like suffering, but the greatest lessons that we've all learned in life happen through a moment of pain, right? We go through difficulties in life, and we look back at them, and we go, man, I know what not to do ever again, right? And now I know how to live my life differently. And if we hadn't have been through that pain, we wouldn't have learned the lesson that we learned. I don't think we learn a whole lot of lessons on the mountaintop, right? We learn them in the valleys of suffering and in the valleys of pain. And I didn't just come here today just to throw a message together. I'm not interested in that. And your pastor would never give this platform up to somebody just to come up and share a good message. But I prayed and I said, God, what do people at New Life need to hear? Those of you joining us at Conway as well. I really believe with all my heart that you're here for a reason. Amen? God designed you to be here. This is His sovereignty that it's called in Scripture. It's not an accident that you're here. Maybe you're here because you followed some girl and you're like, I don't know really why I'm here. You're here because God wants you here. And maybe you just are here because you thought we didn't have anything else to do this week. And it doesn't matter why you're here or why you think you're here. I can tell you it's because God ordained this. And whatever pain you're going through, you're going to learn something today about God's goodness. You're going to learn something today that I believe is going to really help you. Maybe today, maybe you got some relational pain. Maybe there's just some hurts in your life and you're thinking, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to get past this. This person has hurt me so bad. I'm praying for you today. You're going to learn something. Amen? God's going to help you and encourage you through that. Maybe you have some financial pain in your life. I don't know. Maybe you made some bad decisions or just through circumstances. You find yourself in a real bind financially. God's going to teach you something through that today. You're going to learn an incredible lesson today that I think is going to help you. Maybe you have some emotional pain. You could be struggling today, maybe the loss of a loved one, and there's just this big empty hole in your life, and you just think, I lost this person. I loved them so much, and maybe it's been years, and you feel like you're never really going to get through that. Maybe there's this cloud looming over you. You kind of feel depressed, and you're like, and it's emotional pain. I don't know if I can really get through this. I'm here to tell you today, wherever you're at, God is going to speak to you. Amen. And he's going to help you. So here's what we're going to do today. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It'll be on your notes. It'll be on the screen or your smartphone or your smart tablet, however you want to study the scriptures, right? And I want to look at a lesson today that the Apostle Paul writes about. And he teaches us something that I think is so important for us to know in this spiritual journey that we're on. And it's about pain and the purpose of pain. Okay, let's read this verse, and I'm going to teach from it a little bit. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me this thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I was begging the Lord, I pleaded with the Lord, please take this from me. However, the Lord, what did he say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses because Christ's power, it can rest on me then. So that is why, for Christ's sake, I can take delight in pain, in weaknesses, and in insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and all kinds of difficulties. Because when I am weak, then I am, everybody say it, strong. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, forget about who's with you or who's not with you that you wish was here, were here, or the things that you have to do when you leave this place. Would you shut all that off for a moment? Let's open our hearts and our spirits to the Lord. God, thank you for this moment that we have to come and to meet with you. The cool thing about you, God, is that we can have a moment with you anywhere. But God, we are here corporately. There's a lot of people at church here today, and we all here today to receive something from you, and you never disappoint us, God. I love that about you. You've never not once shown up when we were seeking you. There are people here today with pain. There are people here that are struggling. There are those that are wondering if you really care about their life, and I pray that you'd speak to them, you'd minister to them, and they would know you're so big, but God, you also love them enough to be intimately involved in their pain. Let them know that today without a shadow of a doubt, and let this word, let it bring revelation. I pray we'd have some aha moments today so it could be planted in our hearts and produce an incredible harvest so that we can leave this place different than we came in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let me answer a couple of questions before we talk about the purpose of pain. First of all, in your notes, you'll notice this question, where does pain come from? I think we need to have an understanding of that because if you don't know where pain comes from, you might direct your response to pain in the wrong direction. So the scripture back in verse 7, it says, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Look at this. A messenger of Satan to torment me. Would you circle in your Bible or however you have it or write it in your notes? Messenger of Satan. Look, you need to know something about God. First of all, God uses people. Amen? That's why you need to be a part of what God is doing. God used people in the floods in Arkansas. Aren't you thankful that you were part of a church when there was a need? This church didn't just pray and it's like, God, send people. You actually got involved in what was going on here. It is incredible to be a part of a church. I want you to give God some praise for some leaders in a church that is willing to step it up. Amen. And so the people that were hurting, that lost so much because of the flood, you know they were praying, God, I need some help. And God didn't just rain support from heaven. No, he sent people. God uses people. That's why you need to be on a serve team around here. That's why you need to be a part of what this church is doing, because it'll bless you a whole lot to be involved in what God is doing on this earth. Amen? And so God uses people. You know what? The devil uses people as well. The devil uses people to bring pain into our life. Or in other words, when something bad happens, when somebody does something to you, when you're involved in some problem in your life, most times we want to take it out of them, don't we? We want to get mad at them and we want to fight back at them. But the devil, this is really a spiritual thing that is happening. And if you don't recognize that it's really the devil that's trying to get to your heart, maybe through this person or through this situation, you'll respond to it the wrong way. Okay, this is so important for you to understand. We are, first of all, spiritual beings. We're not earthly beings having a spiritual experience. Come on, New Life, you need to get this, all right? We are spiritual beings. That's the part that's going to last forever. We just happen to be having an earthly experience. So if you turn all your attention in your problems and the things that's happening in this life to an earthly solution, then you're never going to really recognize where the problem comes from. And I'm telling you, it's the devil. Look at this scripture in John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't put people's names in there. He's talking about Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come because I want to give you life. So recognize that God doesn't put pain on you. And people are not really the real root of your problem. It is Satan. So be careful about not taking it out on other people and realizing that it is ultimately a spiritual thing. Now, I also want you to notice in this verse, because Paul says that there was a thorn. That thorn is kind of like a word for a splinter or something really small. I think it's interesting how the devil, he wants to inflict major pain in our lives. He will oftentimes use little nagging things, isn't that right? Just kind of constantly nagging at your life, causing lots of little problems. And why does he do that? Is because he wants to cause these little problems to get you to deviate a little bit from God's purpose and plan for your life. So you use little nagging things to get you out of God's will. I remember one time I was helping a friend build something, and he was cutting a piece of wood, and a little bitty piece of splinter of this wood flew out, and it went in my eye. I mean, you know, that hurts. Little bitty old splinter, man, and I was in so much pain. And Amy, we called the doctor, the optometrist, like, hey, what do we do? We got to come see you because I'm in so much pain. How many of you ever realize that when you're in pain, you're selfish, right? All I cared about was get this thing out of my eye. And then so we called the doctor, and he says, listen, you can come to the office, but I think you can probably handle this at home. So if you would just, Amy, if you take a cotton swab, and you lift up Randy's eyelid, and you just kind of swoop it in there a little bit and get it out. And she did it. And I wanted to call her Satan. You a messenger of Satan, woman. It's hurting so bad. She goes, let's just try it one more time. And she lifted my eyelid and swiped in there again, and it didn't come out, right? And we went to the doctor, and the doctor got it out. And when she showed it to me, it was so small I could hardly see it. But that little thing caused so much pain in my life. I don't know what the pain is in your life. And other people might look at it and say, well, it's not that big of a deal. But to you, it's a big deal, right? My dad told me the definition of minor surgery. Surgery that's done on somebody else. Right? When it's your problem, right? It's always a big deal, right? And that's the way the devil is, though. He wants to cause these problems, which may seem minimal, but he's trying to get you off course from what God really wants to do in your life. And that always happens when you turn your attention to people and you start focusing on them and they're the problem. You need to recognize that it really is coming from Satan. All right, that's the first thing. So if the devil is really the source of our pain, where is his target? In other words, where is he trying to hit in our life to cause pain? Let's go back to our verse. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, the Lord said to me that my grace, look at this, it is sufficient for you. How many of you thankful for God's grace? Only a couple of you. I don't know. You need to teach on grace, Pastor Rick. They need to learn about some grace, man, all right? I know Kyle knows all about grace, right? Come on, yeah, all right. That's a family joke there. He married, great, whatever. All right, he goes on to say that my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, where's the target? That's a blank in your notes. There is our weakness. Anybody here have a weakness? I mean, maybe it's so small, most people don't even know it's a weakness, but you have a weakness. How many of you want to admit you have? Okay, Pastor Rick, you're not that good. There's no way this church is that good. There's really about 1% of the people in here have a weakness. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see how much your church is lying. Might be a good topic next week. Okay. How many of you are sitting real close to somebody and you know they have a weakness? Come on, let me see your hand. All right, yeah. You need to speak on lying. It is so deceived up in this place, man. If you really want to know, those of you that didn't think you have weaknesses, ask that person what they are. I bet they have a list. They've been waiting for this moment. You're welcome. Here's what I know about all of our weaknesses is that we don't oftentimes know, and this is proof, we don't actually even know that we have them, or we don't really know what they are. So I would call them blind spots. There are areas in your life where you're extremely susceptible to making bad decisions. What's interesting, too, about this is that it is very spiritual in nature. Once again, we're spiritual beings. Here's what happens is they can oftentimes be what's called in lineage, or the Bible calls it generational sins. Scripture says in the Old Testament that the sins of the parents pass down to the children to the third and fourth generation. But God's grace is abounding for 1,000 generations. Can we give some praise again for God's grace? Come on, would you do that, New Life? But what this scripture is really telling us and helping us to understand is that sins oftentimes will follow a family. Here's how it works. You may have a mother, and she was angry, and she was bitter all the time, and you hated that about her. She just had this rage about her life, and something could set her off, and you didn't know what it was, and you hated that about her. And yet you find yourself just like that. Maybe you had a father who was always saying hurtful things. And no matter how hard you tried to please him, he always found the thing that you weren't doing right. And he was actually critical, right? And what you wanted so bad was praise from your father. And you hated that about him. And now you find yourself critical just like he was. You see, oftentimes the weaknesses in our life, we can find them to just be passed down in our generation. And we can almost kind of gloss over them or not even recognize them or surely not know how to get out of them. But here, let me help you with something. How much different would our pain areas look in our life if we decided to quit handling them on our own? Come on, y'all can give God some praise for that. That's right. Okay, so a couple of years ago, we were celebrating our 25th anniversary, Amy and I. Rick and Michelle were celebrating 30 years. So we had talked and we had planned about what's something we can do to kind of go celebrate together. And so for years, we planned and saved up, and we decided to go to Italy. And so while we were there, we went to Capri, and we were going to go and go into the Blue Grotto there, right? One of the seven wonders of the world. It's this cave that you just kind of go it through the ocean. You go in a little boat. Louisiana, we call it a piro. All right, you call it a canoe, right? All right, a little bitty opening in this cave, and when you go right in it, into this huge cavern, this grotto, and it was the most beautiful, picturesque color of blue that you have ever seen. Okay, so we're all the way around on the other side of the world. We're at Capri. We take this boat to go get in this little canoe to go in there. And we get there, and there are no boats anywhere. And I'm like, it's the favor of God. We don't even have to wait. We're just going to get to go right in there. And what we realized is that the reason why there were no boats over there is because the seas were too high that day, and they said, the grotto is closed, though. And I said, oh, no, oh, it is not, oh. Now, you all the way around the world, man. You don't want to miss out. It's like, man, this is one of the things I really wanted to do. And so everybody's just sitting there, Rick and Michelle and Amy and I, and Chris and Tammy were there with us. I'm sure you guys know Pastor Chris. And so we're like, I guess we can't do it. And I said, boys, we going. I ripped off my shirt. I dove in the water. I said, we're not going to boat into the Blue Grotto. We're going to swim into the Blue Grotto. And they said, yeah, let's do it. And they took off their shirt, and we jumped in there, and we swam the Blue Grotto. Come on, man. You better be thankful I was there. You'd be talking about it. You'd have never seen it if it wasn't for me. He's deceived. He doesn't have as much courage as me. We got other stuff. I'm going to be unwrapping this all day today. Okay. So thank God there was somebody there willing to step out and to take a step of faith. Okay. You're welcome. All right, I think that in your pain areas of your life, the things that you're afraid to push through, there's a pain area in your life. You need to have the right people around you. The scripture describes it like this, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, since we have that, we can strip off the weight that so easily slows us down and the sin that so easily, the weakness that so easily entangles us, and then we can run with endurance this race that God has called us to, this race of endurance and this life of faith. You know what I love about this verse? Would you circle it or write it in your notes? Those words, we are surrounded. Those English words actually are Greek word. The Greek word actually is echo. You need to have the right people in your life that are echoing that God is greater than the pain in your life rather than the people that are echoing in your life, oh, I know, isn't it just terrible? I don't think you're ever going to get past this. You got the wrong people in your life. It could be the reason why you can't get past your pain points is because you have the wrong people in your life. Now, why do you have the wrong people in your life? Here's your next blank. Write this down. Our pride. Because we won't allow people in our lives. Paul described it like this. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now we can stop right there. Paul realized he had pride in his life and this pain was going to keep him from living a life of humility. He was going to have to humble himself and make sure that he had this thing taken care of in his life. And pride will keep us from opening our lives up to other people. We do it all the time in our lives. We fake it till we make it, but you ain't ever going to make it as long as you're faking it. Your pastor has done a great job of teaching you this. When you pretend like everything is okay, you're really not okay. Right? He teaches you to do not live in the loneliest bayou in Louisiana. Come on, everybody, what is it? Bayou? By yourself. That's right. That's so funny. I don't care who you are. That is hilarious, man. I'm glad you thought of that, Rick. I use it all the time. And when I'm in my church, I act like I came up with it. So anyway. You don't live life on your own. You smile. You do it all the time. Rick talked about this last week. You come to church and you are jacked up. And as soon as you get on property, you go, how you doing?
Praise the Lord. Doing good.
Oh, hey, girl. I'm doing so good. The Lord is so good to me. Yes, he is. You know you do that, and you act like everything is okay, and you are full of pain. Married couples fighting like crazy on the way to church. I can't believe we're late together. What's the matter with you? We get to church, and
we're going to finish this when we get home. You know that, don't you?
And you're never going to be okay. You're going to take another lap around the track of your pain when you're faking it like that. And you're in a great church because this church is full of messed up people. But you know what? We're better together. And so I just encourage you to, you know, get in a group, man. Hang out with, get on a team. You know, all of that stuff gets you to a place where you're not just sitting here listening. You're actually face to face with people where you can share your pain. They go, look, my man, I'm going to echo what God can do in your life. And you're going to make it through that in Jesus' name. Y'all give God some praise for some of that. Amen. Okay, here's another very important part about pride is that it oftentimes looks like humility. And some of you, your pride manifests itself like this. You're going through problems in life and you're like, well, you know, the church is busy and they're taking care of flood victims and other people have more problems than mine. It's not really that big a deal. And it looks like humility, like, oh, I'm okay. But really, you're not. It's pride anyway. It's still self-focused. And you're struggling and you're full of pain and you're not going to make it either because you really don't have people that know what's going on in your life. So write this down in your notes. Pain happens to everybody. And you need to know that. Pain happens, and just add in there everybody. Say everybody, right? Pain happens to everybody. We look at other people's lives, and we go, man, I wish I had what they had. Maybe you look at their families, you look at their status in life or whatever they're going through, or the opportunities that they have in life, and you go, man, my life stinks. My kids aren't in that league, and my kids don't have that scholarship. And you put your bumper sticker, my child is an honor student in such and such a school, and you're like, man, I don't have that. And you feel like less than, and the problem is social media exacerbates that, doesn't it? Because you see people post their great days. You never see people post the bad days. And what you don't know is that all the other things that are going on in life that they don't post, they're just faking it, and they think they're going to make it, and they're not going to make it. And you have to realize that pain happens to everybody. You think, well, man, you guys as pastors, you stand up there, and you're professional Christians. We pay you to be good. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't understand pain like I understand. Well, that's not true. I know all pastors, we face problems. I think in my own life and the lessons that I learned through the pain in my life early on in our church. One of our kids was extremely sick, and we went to All Children's Hospital here in Tampa, and they were saying, I believe your son has leukemia. And they told us that on a Friday and said, we got to run some more tests. We're going to wait till Monday. You going to leave me hanging all weekend like that? And I was preaching on parenting that weekend. I mean, you know, I was struggling. But he didn't have leukemia, and I learned a great lesson through that pain, that God is a healer, and his word is greater than any word that any doctor or anyone else can say. Amen? Okay. I learned some other situation. I had a friend of mine not too long ago who really messed up, like had a major falling. And, man, I was hurt. I'm serious. I was ready to quit. I just, like, I love this guy so much. I was so close to him, and I was hurting so bad, and it was pain emotionally that I didn't think I was really going to get through. And I learned something through all of that as he humbled himself and walked through that, and I walked through it with him. He didn't do it alone. He had people around him, and I learned that God is a restorer of broken things. He's doing great again in his marriage and his family, and praise God for that. But I learned that stuff through pain. I think we all need to realize that the harvest of blessing doesn't come to people who quit. I don't have any scripture reference for that. Pain will cause us to want to quit, but the blessing of God comes from people who don't quit. And your pastor, he's dealing with a lot of pain right now. I mean, he is. Like we play golf again, and I beat him like it was nothing. I just almost didn't even have to try. I can't remember the last time he beat me playing golf. I mean, he just, I don't even know what he's going to do. I just pray for him. We're going to have prayer time after service, Pastor Rick, and there's some prayer team down here. They'll help you with your pain. All right. So what did Paul say about his pain? Look with me. We got a couple of more verses I want to give you, and we're going to wrap it up. It says in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. I want to pause for a moment there and make sure you have real context for this, because context is everything. You know, when Jesus was beaten with 39 lashes, that's what Paul is talking about. Understand the scripture, the prophet in the Old Testament. He said Jesus was beaten so badly that his body was unrecognizable. Okay, Paul received that 5 times. Then he says 3 times I was beaten with rods. And then it says, once I was stoned. You're like, well, thank God he got a little relief. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's legal in Florida. I don't know about here, but, you know, I don't condone it. I'll let Pastor Rick clean all that up next week. Okay. I'd never say that in my church, but over here. All right, he says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers and dangers from bandits and dangers from my own countrymen and danger from the Gentiles and danger in the city. And I've also been danger in the country and danger at sea. That boy's dangerous, right? Danger from all kind of things, right? False brothers. I've labored and I've toiled and I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and I've gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And he said, besides everything else, I face the daily pressures of all my concern for all the churches. Here's the verse right here. This is the money verse right here. Who is weak? I do not feel weak. Are you kidding me? I read stuff like that and I hear him say that and I go, how can Paul say that? How can he go through all that and go, man, I don't feel weak. I feel stronger. Here it is. Here's your last blink, because he figured out the purpose of pain. And if you go through pain in life and you don't understand the purpose of it, or the benefit of it, or how it can benefit you, then you're going to go through pain in life as a regretful person all the time. Paul said it, though. He says, look, I went through all this pain, and he said, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said, my grace, everybody say grace, it's sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can be on me. And that's why I take delight in all these weaknesses, right? But then he ends with this, because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. The purpose of pain is for when you're going through those moments, you can see the greatness of God. He doesn't cause pain, but in the middle of that, you're going to have an opportunity to realize how great the grace of God is. Now, our church, we do a lot of work in a country in Africa called Zimbabwe. And we sponsor a lot of kids. We've helped a lot of people. And we've built some churches over there. And so we go there every year. And one of the things we do is, after all the work, is I take the team on a safari, and we go and look at all the animals there in Africa. And they have this one opportunity. You can actually go in the desert, and you can walk with lions. And I don't mean look at them like with a fence and like, hey, you know, aren't they cute? I'm glad they're on that side of the fence. No, you just walk around with them. That's crazy. Take a look at this opportunity, this encounter I had with this lion. Stupid, huh? So Rick is right. I'm not nearly as smart as he is, but I have a lot more courage. I go to grottos and I hang out with lions, all right? Look at that. That's crazy. Okay, this is something very important. Notice, though, I'm focused on the lion, but the lion is not focused on me. If you look at the bottom right of the picture, you'll see a shadow of a dude, and that dude is holding something. It's a gun with a tranquilizer in it, and that tiger would be on the ground sleeping real, real quick if the tiger made the wrong move or that lion made the wrong move. Okay, you can take the picture down now. So even though I was in the presence of something that was much greater than I am and could take my life in a second, there was something else that was there that was even greater than the lion, and it was the trainer. Even though my focus was on the lion, it should have been on the trainer, because that's where my strength really came from. Some of you have your focus on a wrong thing. You have your focus on your pain. And if you would just zoom out a little bit more, you would realize that God is really there and his grace is sufficient, because he is more powerful than the thing that you're facing. Come on, y'all give God some praise for some of that. So here's what I want to leave you with, and we're going to pray. There's nothing wrong with praying that God would take away your pain. Paul did it. Three times he said, I pleaded. I don't think it really matters how many times you plead. And I know I pray for God, take away my pain. But when the pain is still there, would you change your prayer to this? God, help me to see how great and how faithful your grace really is in the middle of this. God, help me to zoom out a little more to see that you're really there with me in the middle of my pain. In Jesus' name, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come here and to hear your word and receive your word. I pray for everyone here that's struggling with pain. God, help us to zoom out a little bit more. Help us to go beyond seeing our pain, maybe being discouraged, and help us to see, God, how great you really are. I pray right now that everyone that's struggling with something would just feel you put your big arms around them. They would know that you love them and that you're there. And even though there might be a lion that is in their lives, something that's great, God, that you're greater. In Jesus' name.